When moving forward seems too much. When you feel totally out of touch. Hope is slipping out the door. You find yourself curled on the floor. The thoughts swirl around all jumbled and lost. Why is this brain so darkly obsessed? I've secrets I've never confessed. Haven't told a soul I am pressed. A gentle whisper to me, but then the rainbows follow rain. Breathe deeply, hold on tight. Your hope will return, shut. Embrace that path in with peace. Your great shout, let your strength be shown.
Well, hello. I'm so happy to be back with you today. And today I have a lovely guest that I know is really going to touch you deeply. And I did something you don't usually do, so I'm going to introduce you a little bit differently. My guest name is Martha, and I am going to ask you, please, to pronounce your last name, because I did not ask you before we went on here.
Kartawi.
Thank you very much. There's nothing worse than pronouncing someone's name incorrectly. And pardon me for being so remiss and not asking you. So I'm going to get Martha to tell us a little bit about who she is and what she does before we get into her story. And I know this is going to have some really amazing nuggets for all of you. So without further ado, Martha, take it away.
Thank you so much. First, Elaine, thank you for having me on your platform. When I first met you, I was like, this woman, I just want to hug you. Like, it just, you resonated so deeply with my soul, your message, your love, your generosity, the way that you show up after all the things that you shared that you've been through. And pain recognizes pain, but healing also recognizes healing. And so that's what I saw in you, is a journey of both. And that feels very familiar for me. A little bit about me. So I am a speaker, an author, and a trauma-informed coach. And all of that has become who I am because of the things that I have dealt with in my life. I am on a mission, and I have a very focused vision that God put on my heart some time ago to be able to walk alongside battle angels in order to help them take their next step on their healing journey. And so you're probably thinking, what's a battle angel? And am I a battle angel? And a battle angel is somebody that has been through trauma, is looking forward to stepping out of that and re-identifying who they are and who they want to be.
Wow. That so resonated, the battle angel. That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And if you can take a moment and just let people know, what is a trauma-informed?
Yeah, so a trauma-informed coach is somebody that has done extra learning, extra work to make sure that we understand how trauma is stored in our bodies, how trauma is stored in our nervous system, how trauma is stored, and then how to ask the right questions, how to hold space, how to create the environment to allow others to open up, to heal, to forgive, to step into whatever it is that they're trying to do. I have certifications that have helped me understand but I think even beyond the certifications is the actual trauma journey that I've been on myself, my healing journey that I've been on over the last 14 years was the substance that created the desire to get further education in order to do what I get to do.
That's incredible. Thank you for expanding on that. I think that's really important. It's a relatively new term and people hear it. And I've already been asked a couple of times, like, oh, what does that mean? Which I think is amazing because something that resonates so deeply that even when you don't understand it, you would react. I think that's what's really important. With that said, let's dive into your story. And I'm really excited to hear the whole story. And I'm gobsmacked by how full of light and joy you are, which I just think is incredible.
Yeah, it's all glory goes to God, right? Because I wouldn't be sitting in this chair with this smile, authentically being able to smile, if it wasn't for the graciousness of God and understanding who I am and who I'm created to be. And that was why I was able to take off the mask of all of the years of trauma and be able to step into the woman that you see today. So going back, I don't think we have enough time to tell my whole story, but I'll give you the acorn version of my story. So I was born and raised in a religious cult in Shawnee, Wisconsin. And during the first 26 years of my life, I was brutally physically beaten. I was sexually assaulted. I was verbally assaulted, spiritually traumatized, mentally, emotionally, all of it. I experienced levels of trauma in all of those areas. So at 26 years of age, I finally make the decision to leave the cult. I have to escape because I was living in the compound with the leader and my every movement was monitored. Everything I did was monitored, from going to the bathroom to eating to sleeping to everything I did was monitored. And I had to escape because you can't just walk out and be like, bye. I escaped during a divinely ordained winter storm and dove in headfirst into my new life. But the problem with diving into a new life is that you don't know what you don't know. And I found out that I didn't know a lot. And I was now free, but my nervous system didn't know it. My body didn't know it. My mind didn't know it. And I didn't have the tools to facilitate a normal existence in this world that I knew nothing about. And so having to navigate with these kid tools, because all I had was kid tools, because I had been controlled my entire life. I'd been isolated. I'd been manipulated. I'd been brainwashed. I didn't have the tools that a 26-year-old adult should have. So that led to a whole nother level of trauma because I didn't know how to function in this real world. So fast forward 5-6 years, my physical body is completely falling apart and I have migraines. I have gastrointestinal issues. I have fibromyalgia. I have PTSD, complex PTSD. And every time I go to a specialist, I'm given another label and another label, but nobody is looking at me and saying, how do we fix her? How everybody wanted to give me a pill, but a pill does not fix what was going on with me. And there's no pill for trauma. And so what it came down to is that I was in a continuing education class because I'm also a therapeutic massage therapist. And I was in a continuing education class and I heard the professor say that she was referencing a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And she said, your trauma is stored on a cellular level in your body. And that was a line that I'll never forget because the bells and whistles in my head started going off. And I was like, this is what the specialists are missing. This is what nobody has ever said. Do you have trauma in your past? Do you have physical abuse? Do you have sexual abuse? Do you have brainwashing? Do you have control issues? Like, nobody ever asked me any of those questions. And so when I heard that, I was like, this is it. This has got to be the key to what's going on with me. And so that, now that I had something, I started doing my own research. I started going to naturopathic modalities such as biofeedback, neurofeedback, EMDR, hypnosis, anything to go inward to help me deal with the trauma that had entangled itself in every fiber of my being. And what I began to see very quickly is, as I started doing this inward work, my outside appearance began changing. I began to release weight. I began to have less headaches. My gastrointestinal issues became less. All of these things just started improving. And that was because the outward manifestation that I was seeing and why I was getting all these diagnoses were actually because I had this internal issue. And so the internal issue was the trauma that I had experienced the first 26 years of my life that I had hoped I could just leave in the past, that I would never have to deal with, that I would never have to touch, that I could just leave in that dark black bag that I buried in the pond at the compound, right? But unfortunately, you drag it with you everywhere you go, regardless of how good your life may look or feel or be. And because of that shadow of the trauma that I was dragging around, I became a really good actor. I lived behind a mask. This persona was in public. I could put on the smile. I could make positivity, push through. I got this. And then at home, I would completely break. I would break in to my husband because I had no tools. And so I was thriving professionally, but my husband was hanging on by a thread, dealing with all of my chaotic antics of this traumatized little girl that he was married to. And I was having nightmares and night terrors. And I was walking out of our house naked. And like, in just, the trauma was coming out in every way possible. And I didn't have the tools to deal with it until I started this healing journey.
That's incredible. And something I just wanted to pick up on, you were talking about all these Western medicine giving you pills and what have you. And it's so sad to me that Western medicine tends to look at what's the symptom you're having, and they focus on that little thing. They don't take in the holistic person.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the whole person, for one, you realize that all of the systems are connected.
Yeah.
And it's not one little thing, probably didn't start where it's happening, has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And I could see once you probably got into these other modalities, you were stitching this quilt back together, but didn't have a map. How I would put it for that holistic, which just absolutely incredible. 26 years is a whole lifetime.
Yeah.
And that amount of trauma over that amount of time. First, I have to give you kudos for getting through it at all before you were 150. That's just, it's a testament to your faith and your drive to be whole.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because not every day do you feel like that, because there's been some dark in finding the light. I've had to go back through the darkness, and some of that has been extremely challenging. But the light is so much more who I am. And now I realize, when I get to do the things that I do now, I realize that all of the things that I went through have been curated to help me become the woman that I am now. So I no longer resent you know, being a trauma survivor or the things that I've been through, the sexual abuse, being starved for 5 months, being beaten, breaking limbs that I were never healed, like all of these things, I don't resent them any longer. I've had to forgive the people that did these atrocities to me because they created this woman that understands trauma at its core, but also understood the hope that I could find if I did the work. And so now I'm able to share that with others. And people that hear my story are like, she gets me. I'm not alone in how I'm feeling. And I wouldn't be able to do that without having to have gone on this journey. There's plenty of great therapists, I'm sure, that haven't had the road that I have. But for me, God felt it important for me to have these experiences. Not that he caused these experiences, but he knew that I would do the work to heal from them so that I could help and resonate with others on their road.
Not only help and resonate, but all of those traumas, you took the lesson, which meant you built on the empathy that you had for others.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's so true. You can't be the same once you've gone through the things that I have and then gone through the healing journey. I look at everybody as valuable. Every single person that mm-hmm. I meet, I see them as valuable because God didn't make evil. God didn't make junk. God didn't make trash, right? And so if I believe that I am made in the image of God, then I have to believe that every other human is as well. There are people that are evil, but they weren't born evil. Something happened to them that they did not heal from, that they did not climb out of, and that turned them into evil beings, right? Like, I believe that to my core. So when I meet people, I see their value more than I see their brokenness, or before I see their yuck, or before I see their darkness. I see their value as a child of God, as a human being made in the image of God, just like I was. And so when you're able to see people from that lens, everything changes.
Absolutely. And I have so much respect for your faith and the strength of your faith to really understand that. Because you're not just saying it, that is what you live. And maybe someday I'll be a better person because I'm not quite there yet on a few people. Just got to be honest.
Forgiveness is one of the hardest things I've ever had to learn, right? Mm-hmm. But when I came to understand that forgiveness wasn't for them, that wasn't making their actions okay. Forgiveness was actually for me to allow my heart to expand and to allow my soul to have the healing that it deserved. Then forgiveness became a lot easier because I remember having an argument with my husband one time when he was like, how dare you forgive Cult Man? How dare you forgive that man that raped that 8-year-old you? How dare you? And when I had to explain to my husband, no, this is not saying that their actions that they did against me are okay, or that like I forgive them so that I can make space in my heart for things that are not anger, resentment, pain. Like, I had to make space for me. And there was no space for me because I was carrying around all of this other people's crap.
So good. I know for myself, the hardest one to forgive was actually me.
Yep. 100%.
And that when you get there, it's a huge, a monumental milestone. I believe that forgiveness, but it's not the end all be all. It's just part of it. And I think it's absolutely incredible. And I have to also say, chose a good husband who had to go through it with you. Yeah, I have a husband who, he got the whiny one. Other people said, you spend your time, you're so happy. He went, yeah, don't mess up.
Yeah, I'm sunshine and light. No, I'm not.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. He was on that journey with me at the time that I needed him. And there is nobody that could have supported me more selflessly than he did. And I will always be grateful for the role that he played in my healing journey, because my family didn't even know what I was going through because he carried it alone. And so I will always be grateful for that role. Eventually, we did get divorced because once I became healthy and once I became whole, things I no longer needed him in the same way, and he didn't know how to not be needed in that way. And things just end up shifting. But he was there for a purpose, and I'm grateful that we're still friends. We're not meant to be married any longer. And that's okay, because I was given a very beautiful gift of him and for those 15 years to be able to help carry me through on my healing journey, because I wouldn't have been able to do it without his support.
And that's wonderful. I'm glad you explained all that, because often people they tend to dismiss the value of someone that has left our immediate sphere, and that's not always the case.
Correct.
So you've obviously been gone for a long time. You set up all this new life, and what was the last leg of the marathon? And I understand, okay, we're never done with our healing. I totally get that. But in that larger 26 years of work you had to do, what was turning point, or the point where you could see the end of that road?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't think I've ever been asked it in quite that way. And I really like that question. As you stated, we're never done healing, right? There's never this end point where we're like, pom-poms up, we're finally healed. What it does mean is that as lives, I have the tools now to be able to roll with it and to get back on track much faster, not to be derailed, not to go on the emotional roller coaster. I have the tools, right? So life still happens, but I have the tools now that I didn't have before. But there are certain monumental points where you're like, okay, this is big. And so a couple of those points that I can reference is my divorce was one of those, because I had gotten to a point, and we had gotten to a point in our marriage where we were roommates, we were friends, we were co-parents, but we weren't lovers, we weren't partners, we were no, right? And I was scared to death to make a decision to leave him, because we had built this whole me together, right? He had been my backbone for so long, and we had built a house together, and our children were like all the things that we had. And so me being like, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that I want more out of a partner, out of a spouse. And having the courage to be able to say, I need something different, and understanding that he was the breadwinner, like understanding what that meant for me long term. And it was scary. I was fear ridden for a long time. But when I finally did it, the moment for me was understanding that all of the years of work that I had done on myself had prepared me for that moment as well. And he went out of his way to be kind with me through our entire divorce, through selling the house, through all the things, right? Because he had seen me go through this journey, and he knew this is the woman that I was now, right? It was Like he had gone from the very worst of the trauma and the nightmares and the night terrors and having to hold me down in bed at night because I'm trying to escape and I'm trying to fight. And right. Like he went through all of these journeys with me and went through all of this. And so for him to see a courageous woman that said, I want more. And he was proud of me and he was happy for me. Because he didn't have the courage to ask for it himself because he hated change. But what he would tell you now is that I gave both of us a chance to live. He's remarried, has his own children, and I couldn't be happier for him. But that was a moment for me where I had to stand on my own two feet and I had to own who I had become. And he was proud of me. I was proud of me. But then sky was the limit, right? Because I was like, damn, if I can do this, watch out. And so I moved to a different state. I built a retreat center with my best friend. I spent a couple of years up there, met a man. I've been living a full life and then moved back home a couple of years ago, started speaking, wrote my book. And so it was that moment, though, of choosing me that there had to be something better. And having the courage to do that was probably one of the most pivotal moments in my healing journey.
That's amazing. It's so wonderful to not just hear you say it, but see the joy in you as you say it.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I don't want to bring up old stuff, but... Did you come from big family?
Yeah. So I have 9 brothers and sisters. My parents got out of the cult about 6 months after I did. And 8 of our siblings are out. We still have 1 that's still there. My parents' marriage made it. They are still married. They're getting ready to celebrate their 55th anniversary next week. And I'm just so proud of them because it would have been easier to be like, how do we repair this? How do we repair our family? But they've done the work too, to support all of us siblings. And my siblings and I have very different stories because I was the only one that lived in the compound. I was the only one that had certain experiences, but all of them have adverse experiences because of the cult. Some ended up in drugs. Some ended up in alcohol. Some ended up in trying to commit suicide. There's so many. All of my siblings have a story, and they've all struggled with mental health issues or alcohol or drugs or any of those things, suicidal ideation, because they were trying to numb, because they were trying to run. And I'm just so grateful to support or to report that the majority of them have climbed out of those holes and are working really hard to reclaim their lives. And I've been out 20 years, and the majority of my siblings have been out a lot longer than that. But time doesn't heal. You have to heal. And so me taking this journey has given permission to my siblings to start their own journeys. And that's been the beautiful ripple effect that I get to be part of because I chose to start. And then my other siblings were like, oh, we don't have to be on drugs. That's really cool. And so it's been a really beautiful ripple effect that I've gotten to watch unfold in my entire family.
That's beautiful. All those people that you gave a hand up to be saved is absolutely incredible because very often, when we're wounded, when we have that much trauma, it's all we can do to get ourselves out of it. Many don't look at those around them, or that they just don't have the mental capacity to reach out to the others. So that in itself makes you very special. And I'm so happy for your parents and your other siblings. But for your parents' marriage to make it beyond, that takes a lot of work too. So what's on the horizon for you?
Wow. God has put this huge vision in my heart, this huge mission on my heart, and it keeps growing. And I'm just, when you feel like you're like, God, am I really qualified? And God's, seriously, have I not showed you for the last 14 years how qualified you are? And so it's a really exciting season for me. I'm putting together a trauma healing event in September 12th through 14th. In Raleigh, North Carolina, and the link is actually showing up right now. It's the event's called Unbound, and we're going to have incredible speakers, but it's also going to be about taking your next step, whatever that is, creating workshops in order to support that, it's going to be phenomenal. And so if you're ready to take your next step, then please reach out to me, look at the Unbound information. Would love to see you there. That's just huge on my heart that God has said, I'm ready for you to do and take this to the next step. And I'm so excited that it's coming to fruition and that it's going to help so many. And it's more than just the people that are going to be in the room. Like we just talked about the ripple effect. When we become the highest and best versions of ourselves, we can't help but allow it to ripple out to everybody else that we know, our friends, our family, our children, our jobs. Because when you shift in that way, when your mindset shifts, you and you start that healing process, there is a snowball effect that happens, a positive snowball effect that happens. So I'm so excited about the people that are going to be in the room, but also the ripple effect that will happen inevitably because these people are taking a chance on themselves and saying, I'm ready, which is really exciting and powerful. I'm also working on two more books right now. So I have one book out right now, Glory Going All In on Amazon, and I'm working on two more books right now as well. And I'm also coaching. So, and all my links are in my link tree.
Absolutely. And everything also will be down below in the transcription of the show notes and ways to connect with you, etc. I think Unbound sounds amazing. Absolutely amazing. I've never stopped in North Carolina. So that's interesting. I would like to ask you if you could. If somebody's watched who is in perhaps, sadly, a similar situation as you those first 26 years, what direction would you offer to maybe start their process to work on getting to be able to heal themselves?
Yeah, loneliness is the number one reason why we stay stuck, because we think that no one else is going to understand us. We think that no one else has been through what we have, and we allow that loneliness to keep us stuck. And so what I would say to that person is, I see you. I was you. I see the pain. I see the loneliness. I see that you don't know where to turn, but you have to know that you're not alone. There are people that will understand. There are communities that you can join to support you. There are so many free resources now that we have the internet that 20 years ago when I was looking for resources weren't available to me. So the first thing that I would ask is just tell yourself you're not truly alone. And even bigger than that, you've never been alone. God's always been there. Don't allow the loneliness to keep you stuck.
Such good information. Because we don't realize that we're not the only one. And that is a theme through so much to do with mental health, to do with suicidal ideation and suicide loss consideration. All of those things, anxiety, depression, trauma, it all makes you feel one against all else.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. That loneliness, that alone feeling being cut off from everything.
Yeah.
Is what people have to get through in order to open up to others.
Yeah.
Which I think is so important.
Yeah.
Well, I did tell you, audience, that this would be a very powerful show. And I think it's so very evident where you are in life now that people can't help but look at where you come from and where you are now and think, wow, I would like some of it. And I think that's important as well, because until we really want for ourselves, that adds to that loneliness and that stuckness.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that as well, because it certainly comes through in how you speak, what you speak about, and the feeling I think will resonate with so many. I have to thank you so much, Martha, for joining us today. I'm really quite impressed by you, and there's a feeling of lightness comes from listening, which is a real gift. So thank you so much. As I said before, you'll find everything below show notes and transcription, so you can look into Martha's book, you can follow up and find her. As she said, Link Mayo has everything on it. And until next time, thank you so much for joining us, and please be sure to make the most of your today, every day, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a rating or a review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Trul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist, Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to szf42.com. And for our American listeners, that's scf42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.
Prepare. Get. And hope. Because. Human.